Hey, Printhusters, welcome back to the podcast. Bruce from Printavo here. We've got Mr. Stephen Farragut out of Campus Inc. And our very special guest today is going to be Jessica Tillery from All Quality Graphics. Really cool episode. She shares with the revenue that she's at. She shares profitability. A lot of really neat numbers that help to dial in the business financially. And then also some equipment that she likes, some favorites that she's bought. So that was very cool. But very quickly, we got to jump into our sponsors. You guys have helped us support the podcast and allow us to keep doing it, which we're very excited about. Check out these three when you have time and if you need it: Graphic Source, Easy Way, and Multicraft. Graphic Source specializes in providing high quality, production ready art with dedicated staffing solutions for decorators around the world. They work with so many shops, especially Printavo shops now. They are trained in Printavo to be able to help handle production art. Easy Way. You shouldn't spend all day cleaning dirty screens. EasyWay's line of environmentally conscious chemicals will get the job done faster, more efficiently, and cost you a fraction of the cost per screen. Thank you to EasyWay as well. They also sponsor Printhusters Conf and everything else that we do. They're great. And Multicraft. I know you guys follow Multicraft Daddy. Multicraft underscore daddy. If you need ink, supplies, or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years. Provides you with the top brands at competitive prices. But more importantly here, give them a shot. They're an awesome distributor. Mention Printavo and you'll get 10% off your first order. All righty, let's jump in.
It sounds great. Wait, where are you, by the way?
I'm in my office at the shop.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You
decorated it really well. It's not just like blank walls and a couple of random shirts. I was like, is it your living room? But then in the back, there's the windows that definitely look like a hallway.
Yeah, windows. You can see the little screens on in the window, the little screen collage.
That's awesome. Where is Citrus Heights, California?
Sacramento. So we're about 15 minutes from downtown Sacramento. You guys got to get out here. We got to get some surfing in on the Delta down here.
I was about to say, Farragut's also a wake surfer. So
we used to do, with our team, we called it Water Chill Wednesday, and we would head out to the lake. We'd try to be out of the shop by like 1 or 2.
Oh, wow. You take the whole team?
Go out there. I mean, we would have to do it in increments. So a handful of us would go each time and we'd kind of rotate.
But you would go every time because...
I'd go every time. Of course. I mean, come on. Someone's got to drive. And
yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, because I feel like that's your role, Stephen, is...
And you guys have met Brian. He's my right-hand man here. Like, he goes every time and he's the other driver. So it works out perfect.
Wait, what else do you do for your team to like... Because that's really cool.
Yeah, we try to do a lot of things to kind of keep everybody bonded. That's probably the most fun one on my list. We do a lot of positive affirmation stuff around here. So when it's somebody's birthday, we bring in lunch, of course, and then we actually gather around and we pour into that person. So we'll speak life into them and everybody has to say either a sentence or a word or a story or something that they love about that person. And that just, it really boosts morale and it's fun to see everybody just kind of build some confidence off of that and really touch each other.
Whose idea was that?
It was mine. But it's awesome. I highly recommend it for every company to do that. We also recently have started doing gratitude journals. So everybody here has their own journal and we'll try to gather. I try to get them together to do push-ups or some little huddle. We'll huddle everybody in and it's like, all right, everybody down. We're doing 40 seconds of push-ups. Or squats or whatever it is. And then afterwards we'll write in our journal and it's just a good time for them to realize, gosh, in the grand scheme, we're so blessed. You know, we could be having a really crappy week. Things are going wrong. You know, we all have a lot of pressure and you write in there and you see these quotes and these different things of gratitude. And you're like, gosh, I mean, in the grand scheme, I really am blessed. It's not that bad. We have it really good.
That is true.
That's really
cool. So those things
cool.
are great. We'll have a guys come out and cater a barbecue every now and then just to kind of huddle outside, play basketball, play frisbee golf, whatever it is. But we have such a rad team and everybody really enjoys each other. So when we do these things, it's fun. You know, it's really gets everybody. Nobody wants to punch the clock and just, you know, do the daily grind. And so in those times, it's like, man, we really are blessed to have a really cool core that truly enjoys each other. And we're like a little family.
Do you think that helps with recruiting when you're hiring, like, just like not selling your culture, but like, is it pretty easy to hire because you have an awesome team and because
you focus retention too?
Like, oh, yeah.
For sure. Our retention is really good. And I think that's one of the reasons why. And we've never had a problem hiring, really. And again, I think that's just a good reputation of people seeing that we do these things on social media and, you know, wow, that looks like an awesome place to work. But I think really it comes down to us just having really good people here. You guys know, you know, a bad egg when you see it and you get it out right away. And I think just having a culture that fosters community and everybody just really loves on each other around here, and we just have respect, and it's just a fun place to be.
You know, you actually do post. I'm pulling up your Instagram. You do post.
It's terrible. Okay. So I suck at social media. I hate it. It's terrible. I'm actually actively looking for somebody to do that full time.
I mean, I was going to say you post more team things than I think most people do. Most people post a lot of like, this is the job I just did. But a lot, like the last almost 9 posts or so were very much so like very cool team driven. So I wonder if that also, because I think people think maybe it's a sales thing, but also it's, you're right, maybe it is more of a recruiting thing.
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. And I think honestly, that's what matters. I mean, obviously, we're all pumping out cool prints every day. But I think being here and being on a team that cares and is, you know, cares about the details and wants to be here and loves what we do is the important thing. So I try to showcase that. And I'm kind of learning as I go that that's actually what people want to see is the authenticity and the people, the team. They don't really care about the actual shirt or the garment. I mean, they do, of course, but it's more fun to see the people making it. You know, yeah. I think that's really what really connects us.
I think like genuine authenticity on social is hard to do. And I feel like people are like, oh my gosh, I have to do social. And you, like you said, if you find the wrong person, it can really make you look like spammy or like annoying or, you know, non-authentic. But it seems, even though it's not like a crazy following, it is very genuine, meaning like showing the team, having meals together, hard work, like really cool prints. And it's like, if I was stalking All Quality Graphics to look for apparel, I'd be like, wow, that looks like a cool group. Like they're going to take care of me, you know? And I don't think you need a lot of followers to necessarily tell that story. Even if those are your just 600 customers, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. And I want true followers. You know, I don't want a bunch of fake followers who aren't really interacting or don't really care about our content. So just let it grow organically. It'll do what it does. And for us, the beautiful thing is we've never had to do any sales. I still don't have a salesperson. We've done zero sales, almost zero marketing, very little social media. The business just keeps coming and coming. So we've been very lucky in that aspect. At some point, probably do want to jump on that and do sales, but I'm honestly happy with where we are. I think we're in our sweet spot. I have learned over the last few years that growth, you know, increased revenue is not necessarily growth. For us, we've actually scaled back. We're trying to be very picky and do quality over quantity. And it's been great. I mean, COVID hit us really hard. We took like a 30% hit. However, that was in our revenue. Our net profit was actually higher than pre-COVID. So damn. I'm learning to kind of scale back, really lean out our team. And we're actually making more money now and bringing in less revenue.
Wait, can you share where you're at? Company wise, size wise, as much as you can.
Yeah. So we took a 30% hit this year. So we were just south of 2 million. Right now we're at 11 people on our team, and I'm actually trying to lean that out a little bit more. I like to sit around 200,000 per employee. So we're kind of fine tuning things and trying to get a little bit more equipment, better equipment, and really just dial in on the equipment, a really lean team, and just maximizing profit. So we're being very, very picky.
Is that the number you think? 200,000 per? Because I think that's a healthy number, but
it's healthy. Mark Coudray always says 150. Like you have to be at least 150.
Yeah, tech is usually like 150 plus.
Yeah, and that's probably about where we ended this year. But I am way more comfortable being closer to the 200 mark. So that's kind of the goal, is to really lean out, be very picky, focus on quality over quantity. So we've really scaled back. We almost do zero sports teams and uniforms now. We used to do tons of little leagues, you know, all the softball leagues, all that stuff. And I mean, like all the stuff Steven's good at, all the sports and fan wear.
We suck at it too.
I've learned that it's just for us, it's more trouble than it's worth. And we're working our tails off and, you know, chasing it. And at the end of the day, not making the profit that I want to make. So we have learned to just turn all that stuff away.
How? You just say no?
Our minimums. Yeah. Just say no. And it's hard at first. I mean, the first year I did that, I was like, oh.
So what'd you raise your minimums to?
It's 30 piece for one color or 50 for multicolor.
Gosh.
And that's been wonderful. Honestly, that's been awesome. Like it's, I mean, you guys know, obviously direct to film is getting big now, but it's those 3-4 color jobs, 30 pieces that come in where you look back, you're like, really, why did I even take that? For us, we're just learning that it's just, we're only going to take the quality stuff, the stuff that is a good profit. And it's been really good for us because then we can kick back a little bit. It's not chaos around here trying to scramble to get a million jobs out the door, and we can really just focus on quality and at the end of the day actually make some money.
Wow. So really well. 30 pieces, one color front, and that's it, right? Or will you do one color front and back?
One color front and back. I mean, it could be a 4-location print. That's fine as long as it's one color.
And you're doing that because it's all about setups, right? Because setups are gonna crush you.
Exactly.
That's super, super smart. Now, okay, like, how was that transition for your team, like, and your customers? Is it more customer education where you just say, hey, just so you know, if you're only ordering 30 shirts, we can only do it one color?
Yep. It's all customer education. So we're really trying to just guide them on what's going to be most cost effective for them and what we actually do. And it's kind of helping us weed out our customers too, because honestly, we're just going for large construction companies, you know, bigger companies that are doing high volume, you know, rarely less than 100 shirts, but we really like to be in that 250 to 500 piece.
Gotcha. So then to follow up, what happens, like, rules are sometimes broken. How strict are you all about it? Is it like we have some strict rules at Campus Inc. We do not open online stores once they close. We don't care. Are you pretty gung-ho about it? Like, pretty strict?
We are. However, in the slow times, for instance, right now, February is historically a slow month. So we will bend a little bit. And if it's somebody we really like, especially, we'll bend. So obviously we make exceptions if it's people we really, really like or they're in a pinch. But we try to be pretty darn strict about it. I would say this past year, we stuck to that rule.
Wow. So 30 pieces, one color per location, 50 pieces, you can go two.
You can actually go 6, 8, doesn't matter at that point. However, we don't really want to take a 50 piece, 8-color job, but at that point, it's kind of a judgment call.
And who makes those calls? Is it you, or do you have, like, you know, like, customer service, and how does that work? Cause this is really interesting, I think.
Yeah. So we have 4 of us gals in the office. We have our office manager, Nicole, and then 2 gals that are, I call them merch experts, and the 4 of us kind of divide and conquer on the quotes. And this is something actually I wanted to pick your brain about at Long Beach, Stephen, was I want to know how you guys do your quoting and how that's kind of divvied up. And because I've been struggling with this. It's like, do you allocate one person and that's all they do for their 10 hours a day? Or do you divide and conquer like we're doing? Obviously, me as the owner, my goal these last 2 years has been to get out of the shop and, you know, work on the business as we all want to do. And so I find myself when I'm here getting caught in that, you know, busting out some quotes. And obviously that's not where my time is best spent. But the 3 gals, I mean, they do an amazing job just dividing, conquering as it comes in. So for us, that's working really, really well. But I'm curious, how do you guys do it at Campus Inc.?
So this is something we struggle with, definitely. We're moving towards account management sales. So if there's a qualified customer, they're going to have a point person that they go to every time. But really, like, I think the true way to do it is you have individuals that are just, I don't know if you call them SDRs, Bruce, or like they're working on the ground floor with the easy leads, the quick quotes, the ones that aren't really qualified. I need 20 shirts, maybe first time customers. And then anyone who is like a repeat customer or a qualified customer or an order that is in your sweet spot, they go to more of an expert that's going to try and close them. So, like, you know, the standard versus the premium versus enterprise. And what we're trying to do is create true account managers for any of our enterprise customers. So like, you know, we talk about the 80-20 rule of your customers, but those that make up the most amount of your revenue need dedicated support so that you can actually be active and call on them and engage with them. Because I think the thing we struggle with is we don't do enough forecasting. Like, hey, we know that we took a big 10,000 piece order. Have we hit them up again? Like, have we talked to them and said, hey, are you guys coming back? Like, we're very fortunate, I think, in a lot of the industry faces this, is we don't do enough forward thinking in sales. But we have a very much, it's all speed to quote for us. It's how quickly can we convert them to a quote? And if they're qualified, how quickly can we get them on the phone? And that's basically the hardest thing to get, is how do you get a salesperson to actually talk to someone? Do you guys talk on the phone with your customers and stuff? Like, is that pretty common?
We do quite a bit, yeah. We're trying to kind of eliminate so much correspondence back and forth. So we've created a really good, like, template of questions to ask so that we can, you know, provide a quote right off the bat. But there's still a lot of correspondence going back and forth. So that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on that. We're really trying to focus on the 80-20 rule. And it's true. I mean, 20% of our customers are our bread and butter. That's what really makes us the money. So we're trying to pour into them, you know, do customer visits and try to really retain them and keep those guys happy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's interesting when you sign up for a piece of software, you get a call right away. I don't know, Bruce, if you see this.
Yeah. Like, you'll be like, schedule a demo. If you reach out to a property on Zillow, they text you, they call you, they call you again.
They don't
It's
stop.
Very like they're trying to definitely. I mean, I think it's a little over the top, but clearly there's something there with the timing aspect of the quicker you reach out, which I think about when I go to Yelp. Like when I need to find somebody to do something on the house, it's just the first couple that are the fastest are the ones who I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And usually the first one, because I'm just over it.
Yeah.
So
do you think that it would be better, just in your opinion, because this is something we struggle with, to hop on a call with a qualified customer and do a 10-minute discovery call? Or is it better to just send them a bunch of questions to fill out first? Like, what do you value or how do you all do it? Because I struggle with this quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think if it's your ideal customer that you really, really want this person, it wouldn't hurt to jump on a call. But for us, we just shoot them an email. Cause I know for me personally, I don't like when people call and like right away try to jump down your throat. Like, let's make this happen. This is what we do.
What if they texted you?
I don't like that either, but I'm such an email person. Sure. So I like when an email comes through and it's like, okay, here's all the details. This is what we need. Like, this is how we move forward.
I wonder if there's like a medium of like, how do you like to talk? Because I'm very much more text than email or phone, because I'm probably doing three other things. And so I can like async it. And I feel like my email is just too much. But anyway, it's kind of interesting.
I'm old school. And trust me, we have customers where we know they're not going to email with us. Like, we have to jump on a call or we have to text them. And we kind of, like you, Steven, we have a little bit of account management going on to where we have certain customers who we allocate one person to them and they take care of them, you know. We have Sacramento Black Rifle. They're one of our big customers. Nicole, our office manager, takes care of them because it's such a beast and they need a lot of attention and it's very detailed. So
I think one of the things that we struggle with is qualifying a customer and then giving them the right amount of attention, but not too much. Like, what drives me nuts is when I see in our inbox us going back and forth with a customer, like 30 threads deep, and it's a 13-piece order.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, we just wasted 3 hours of our time to sell 13 shirts. Like, and it's interesting, like, your employees, I don't know if you see this, but my employees will get hung up on the smallest orders and sometimes not qualify the correct ones. Do you spend a lot of time like qualifying, or is that something you do? Is like, is it like, do you guys have a, is it worth it meter? Like, is this someone we want or not?
Pretty much. And yeah. And it's more of a judgment call at this point, but that's where we've been trying to really like up our minimums and set standards. Cause exactly like you said, you spend hours going back and forth with this person. At the end of the day, it's a pain in the butt 20-piece order.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just really trying to kind of see what the potential is of that customer first, and then we decide how much we pour into them.
Wow. Bruce, you guys.
That said, though, real quick, obviously we want to treat everybody well. So whether you're buying 30 shirts or 10,000 shirts, we're going to treat you the same. We're going to give you the same stellar service. However, you know, a high-end customer is obviously going to deserve that phone call or whatever it is to.
Bruce, how do you guys do it at Printavo? Because you have customers that are on starter plan, you know, mm-hmm. that are, you know, probably not breaking, you know, they might even be lost.
It's to be honest, it's not a profitable plan. I mean, it's $49 a month, but I think anyway, it's a separate thing.
But so how do you still give them the same amount of love and support than the customer's paying $400 or $500 a month on premium with everything? Like, does your team actually have to like stop themselves and say, we have to give them the self-help? Or do you guys usually just like answer everyone's questions? How does that work?
Our flow is there's in what's called an SDR that basically tries to qualify them to make sure that they are actually interested in what we have to offer. And after somebody fills out a contact form, then they go through that. If they're like, okay, this is a screen printing or apparel first decoration shop, cool. If you're not apparel first and you're a sign first, for example, or engraving first or something, this is not the product for you. And we will be like, we'll show you a demo, but if not, then, you know, just as a heads up, it's probably not going to work out. And we've turned out a lot of business that we used to take, but because it confused the rest of the flow, the process, the product, the support team, like all this other stuff. And so the short term hit gave us, I think, a long term focus that really helped niche us more. But after that, support wise, we actually don't distinguish. Now, the success team obviously isn't going to want to do a deep dive into somebody's Zaps or something for 2 hours for somebody paying $50 a month. But we try to distinguish that out by segmenting the plans, though. So it's a little bit different, right? Because on that plan, you don't get some of the advanced functionality that would require the advanced help. As if like, gotcha. Hey, for this dollar spend, you don't get all the complexities in like it's you're buying a package. And actually, there was that one shop that kind of exemplified this where they had that Shopify store. It was somewhere in California, actually, too. But they like Big Graphics, or you remember that one where they you bought packages. On the Shopify store that got rid of all the low end type of customers, like 25, two color, you know, is X dollars. And they kept directing them to the website just to buy it. And then that way the money was collected and then they managed it throughout. That's kind of how ours filters. But again, it's a grain of salt. It's different business as in software.
No, it's interesting because when we used to go to the trade shows, we would take anyone that would come our way, Bruce. It'd be like, you're a vehicle wrap. You're a laser engraver. You're anything, whatever.
Anything. Yeah. And, you're starting, when you're young, but it's just, it adds, I think like we're a team of almost, we're 28, 29. And it's just, it's hard because the product has to be really good for one, or it's half-assed for everything. And then it's the support team has to be trained really well for one, or half-assed again for everything. The sales team has to speak the language correctly. Like, it really dribbles down to all these areas, and it was so difficult. We just didn't have the resources to be able to correctly handle that.
It's good. All right, let's talk about your shop a little bit. So you run two autos. You're an all rock shop, it looks like, right?
No, I actually have a workhorse as well.
You do have a workhorse. So one workhorse, one rock, it'll eventually be two rocks. No, gotcha. Usually goes that way. Talk to us about the transition you made, you know, why you chose them. Tell us about, because you talk a little bit about equipment, transition, getting new equipment.
Sure. So I've had my eye on Rock for a long time. I mean, obviously, they're awesome. I mean, the culture they've built, and they're fun guys. They're awesome people. But honestly, let's be real. It's a sexy machine. I mean, you look at a workhorse and it's just this blue, boring thing. And then you go into a Rock shop and it's very impressive. And not that you should buy equipment based on how good it looks, but it does make a difference. I mean, let's be honest. So that for us has been a game changer just because it's a great press. It's a beast. We also just got the Rock Tunnel dryer, the split belt. And so that was a game changer as well. It's so nice to be able to print two different things. You know, we have cottons and polys going at the same time or whatever the case is. So that's been awesome. We do fulfillment for a certain partner. I'm not going to say who it is, but we have three direct to garment machines that we run as well. And so that fulfillment's going really, really well for us. And then we do embroidery in house as well. So all has been well. I do have a question for you, Stephen. We're in the process of getting a reclaiming machine, and this is long overdue for us. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, what you have. So we actually went to this past show, and I'm super intrigued with the Hydro Blaster. I don't know if you've even seen it yet. It's a little guy. It literally does one screen at a time, goes through 30 seconds and spits it out. And then obviously you run it back through. So you're looking at a minute per screen. So it's between that, the Lotus Holland, of course, and then kind of intrigued with this new Blue Water thing. Yeah. I don't know enough about it, so I'd love to hear your take on that.
So reclaim is not a problem in our shop because we have an employee that like is semi-retired and loves it. I don't know why. And so he comes in at like 5 a.m., reclaims until like 10 or 11, goes home, and it's his dream retirement job. So we've always said when he retires, we'll have to get auto reclaim. So, but with that being said, I think it comes down to like, one is volume, right? Do you have enough volume to support it? Because I don't think it's cheaper by any means. You still have chemistry. There's a lot of chemicals involved. You really like, I've heard the machines are a little finicky. And I don't think it's necessarily going to be less expensive. It's just going to be less of something you have to worry about because anyone can run it and you're not going to be burning through employees. With that being said, it's really cool to see what Alex is doing with Blue Water. I don't know a ton about it. I'm probably pretty inexperienced in it, if anything. I think he's got some cool things that he's working on. Bruce, you talked to Alex a little bit, right?
Yeah, he's just getting started. He's sold quite a few, though. But we're going to have him on the show. It's new. Obviously, I do see a lot of the Lotus Hollands, and I think M&R has one too, that we'll see a bunch of in shops. But all right, so we just had some technical issues, and that's okay. Steven's computer just went black, which is funny because my computer did the exact same thing about three episodes ago, and so he had to run the whole thing too. But you're talking about auto reclaim. Yeah, I mean, I think it's very similar to direct to screen in a way, right? Where it's a very time-based cost decision. And so you,
right.
Now the ones that I have seen in the shops that are pretty popular are the, I don't know what the M&R one's called, but theirs and the Lotus Holland is the, but a lot of people do say it to Farrick's point is not perfect. And
for sure, yeah,
people are still spraying it down or you know scrubbing a bit, and so it's not magic.
I think just taking away that job, that dirty job that nobody wants to do, and making it a little more efficient, a little less dirty would be good. And we're in California, so labor's not cheap, so
true
for us it makes sense. It really does pencil. But Farrick's lucky, he has a retired guy doing it. I mean, that's he's blessed.
He does.
He's going to be a world of hurt when that guy doesn't want to do it anymore.
The what's interesting too is I do see a lot of shops when they are fully automated, it is one person jumping around to different areas. So it was one person literally in the dark room that's putting screens in to lay the emulsion down, then clicking, you know, and setting up the CTS, then going, loading up screens, taking off tape and everything and putting them in. Or they have whoever finished that job kind of cleans it up a little bit and gets them put in a pile to put into the auto reclaim and then spraying it out when it's ready, like a new screen's ready. So,
And that's what we do. We have one guy who just does all things screens, from the CTS to cleaning them, everything. However, we did just have a retired guy come in. He's just starting with us. He's washing squeegees for us. And similar to Farrick's guy, he just wants something to do and he loves it. And that's been a pain point for us. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but nobody wants to wash squeegees. You know, it's like washing dishes all day. So that's been a huge blessing. I'm hoping that continues to pan out.
So what is the best piece of equipment that you feel like you've bought? I mean, you've got a really solid business, great team and everything. you know, some automated equipment there. What is it?
I think the CTS was a game changer, honestly.
Really? Which one did you get?
Films, the Douthit.
Okay.
And Mark's just incredible. I mean, service.
No
and,
doubt about
you
know, that.
You can't speak highly enough of that guy. But for us, that was really a game changer, just getting rid of films and fighting with old school printers. And it's just, it's so much better. But I mean, all of our stuff, The Rock obviously has been a phenomenal piece for us. As far as embroidery, our Baird and machine, I think is second to none. And then in the D2G world, we have the Brother GTX Pro. I don't know how much you know about D2G, but it has the bulk ink cartridges, and that thing has been a beast. I mean, I would highly recommend it. It's awesome. Although D2G is probably dying, but for us, for what we use it for, which is fulfillment for tote bags exclusively, it is amazing. Kicks butt.
Okay. I want to ask you about that, but wait, the CTS side, because I've heard a lot of people say that that is the biggest game changer in the shop. What was it like? Was it more of an efficiency improvement? Was it just a quality of life thing with getting rid of the film, not dealing with the ink and the printers? What's the comparison there?
I think all of the above. I mean, the quality of life, because you're no longer hassling with those old school printers, which always seem to have problems. You're always replacing the black cartridges and the printers down or whatever the case. So not fighting with that. The cost of films have gotten expensive. And so not having to buy those films and print those films anymore alone is a cost savings. And then just the efficiency, you can do screens so quickly. So for us, it was kind of a no brainer. I honestly think we should have done it a couple years prior to when we did it. So I recommend that for probably anybody running an auto. It's just such a game changer.
That's pretty cool. And then, so you got that. And then walk me through this, actually wait, for your art department too, is that internal or is it outsourced?
It's internal. So Brian, I'm sure you've met Brian. He's a brilliant designer. I mean, the guy's so fast on SEPs and everything. So him, and then we have another designer on our team, knock that stuff out, and I mean, flawlessly and so efficiently. So we've never had a need to send that out. However, I know the guys at GraphicsX and George at SEPs IPO, or is that how you say it? I can never get his name.
Gavin,
right.
Gavin,
yeah. Have a great thing going. And I think at some point that might be advantageous for us to look to have those guys tap in and, you know, source that out to them. But for now, our flow is awesome. Like Brian does it flawlessly, and we have a really good thing going internally.
So the DTG setup, you said you have three machines, and that's all for one customer to do fulfillment for them, like on demand, I'm assuming, or?
So we're tapped into their system, and it's such a great setup. It's seamless. So we log in and we'll send out about 500 to 600 orders for them on average a day. And it just comes through the pipe. We fulfill it. The shipping label's created through them, and we get it out the door. So it's kind of a one man show on our end, and we're just pumping them out. It's very, very easy.
So is that through something like a ship station where the orders come into, or how does that work with the flow? Or is it total custom with this partner?
It's total custom with this partner. Yeah. And I don't think I'm allowed to say who it is, but you know who it is, and their system's very sophisticated, and basically they have their own internal shipping, like a ship station, but it's through themselves. So it's a good thing. And it just kind of just keeps our direct-to-garment printers going all day long. So again, we're pumping out about 600 orders a day, and we don't take any of our own direct-to-garment orders. So if somebody walks in the door and wants, you know, a full color shirt or a handful of them, we say no. So those are kind of our boundaries again, of not taking those small orders and just letting that department focus on the fulfillment.
Is there any thoughts of using, heat transfers for those smaller orders, or is just that the time to get them approved and all this other nonsense is just,
we do a fair amount of heat transfers. So we will take those when it's necessary. And if it's a lot, you know, say they want 100 shirts and it's a 8 color unrealistic back, we'll get that from Supercolor and slap it on there. And I think direct to film is going to be the answer for all that stuff for us moving forward. I was blown away in Long Beach. I don't know about you, but I feel like it should have just been called the DTF show. It was crazy. Everywhere you look, it was a DTF machine. I'm like, holy smokes. So I feel like they're still working on that technology. And in a year or so, I definitely would like to tap into that and use that for those smaller runs. And, you know, all the stuff that we're having to sub out through Supercolor would be nice to just have that in house. Oh, you're back. We were just talking about that.
My computer decided to like speed up like a spaceship and then just turn off.
Die. As you know, my thing that I was just saying, literally the exact same thing, like the maybe a couple of weeks ago, it just completely shut up. Yeah. So Supercolor has been great. And this episode hasn't come out yet. We just did a really cool one. Farragut, they were talking about how there's so much DTF at Long Beach, but it was crazy. What I'll say is that Rum gave us a tour of his new facility, and he's invested low eight figures into building out these facilities to make them like truly high scale and get quick, you know, next day turnaround. Unbelievable stuff that it's hard to understand the scale of this without seeing it and then seeing those machines. And you're like, oh, okay. Now I understand like what he's investing in, what they're building there and why that works so well. But
it changed my perspective so much.
But we'll wait for that episode to come out. Farragut, when you were gone, while your computer was blacked out, Jessica was just saying that the best piece of equipment she's bought was the Doubt Hit.
CTS.
Yeah.
You're on Team Doubt Hit?
For sure. I mean, who doesn't love Mark?
I was just literally saying
that guy's incredible.
The before and after. I mean, like for your shop, before and after CTS, what was that like for you guys?
It was hell. It was really the dark room was a dark place before CTS. Now the dark room is a place of peace and tranquility and order and beauty.
Yep. See, I told you, Bruce, it's all of the above.
I don't know how to describe the feeling, but if anyone took the CTS away from us, I would be very sad.
Yep. Same. Agree. But see, Steven, that's how I think I'm going to feel about the reclaiming machine, because that's a dark place too. Who wants to wash screens? I mean, I was telling Bruce when you were off that you are crazy blessed to have that guy come in as a retiree and enjoy it. So I feel like it might be a similar situation where it just kind of takes all that yucky feeling away, and it's a beautiful place to be.
It's funny. Andy at Shirt Kong reclaims because he's got the auto reclaimer. So he's like, I'm a head reclaimer.
That's it's probably kind of fun to run that thing through, honestly.
It'll be interesting. We're going to talk to Alex in a couple of weeks to start picking his brain about it. I think the cost is still really high for me, but I feel like we're close. What about, like, do you have an eco rinse or like the washout for after screens are exposed?
No, I mean, we have our own made up version of that, really. Brian's so innovative here, so he's made all our filtration systems, all our rinsing systems. While you're off the call, I also told Bruce that we have a retiree that just came in who's washing squeegees for us, and that's been a massive pain point too, because nobody wants to wash squeegees. So that alone just takes kind of some of that yucky feeling out of the wash area, and everybody's happy. You know, all of a sudden everybody loves to be around there now that this guy's taking that little dishwashing station away.
It's cool to find people on your team that are just content doing their jobs.
Amen to that. I mean, it's nice to have, because sometimes it's like, I feel like so many people want to keep moving up, which is great, but there's only so many roles and responsibilities. Like I don't have much else to offer other than, you know, but you want to keep the good people. So it's a tricky balance.
And for me, and that's the thing, it is a balance. So I know that our screen guy absolutely hates washing squeegees. So to bring in somebody an hour a day to do that and take that off his plate has actually been really good for us, because it completely changed his attitude. Like he's dancing around, singing around, doing his screens. And it really is a game changer. And the other guy coming in, the retiree, loves it too. So everybody's happy. So it's kind of a win-win. And it's a tough balance, because it's like, yeah, we're all going to have a part of our job that we don't particularly enjoy. So we can't just, you know, baby everyone and take away all their tough tasks. But at some point, you want people to enjoy doing what they're doing, you know, and not carry around a bad attitude about it the whole time they're doing it. So that's been a win-win for us.
Jessica, do you spend time with your employees doing like one-on-one, like just check-ins, and like, do you have cadence with them to be like, yes, what are your goals? Tell us about that a little bit, because it sounds like you take a
very
lot
much of so. Yeah. So I came from the corporate world, and I actually, my last role was related to an HR type position in wellness. So that stuff's really important to me. We do annual reviews where they'll do a self-evaluation, I'll do an evaluation. And we're very strict on that. Like that happens without fail. And then we try to do check-ins every once in a while, but we do a staff meeting once a month. We do an office meeting biweekly, and we do a production meeting biweekly. So that's kind of our time to huddle within our little departments. And then anytime I feel something going on, or, you know, something's going on in somebody's life, or their attitude's not quite where it should be, you know, I'll take them to lunch, or we'll do, you know, just a check-in, or maybe it's a 6-month review, but just try to really stay in tune and make sure we're all on the same page and everybody's doing well. And for me, growth's important. So we all want to grow. I mean, I don't want somebody to stay in the same position for 6 years. And I think we've done a really good job of that internally, of letting people grow into different positions. And it's hard when you're a small team. I mean, we're a team of 11 right now, 11 and a half. And so there's not a ton of room for growth, let's be honest, but even just moving people around a little bit, it makes a huge difference. A good example of that is Nicole, our office manager. She started just doing quotes for us and then grew into managing the schedule, doing all the ordering. And now she's essentially in an HR position where she handles all our health benefits and payroll and all, you know, all the HR stuff. And she loves it. And she's found that that's her jam. So it's really just kind of moving people around and letting them find what they love. And then you'll see that they really excel in that.
That is really cool. When you mentioned quotes at the beginning of the episode, you mentioned that I feel like I'm doing too much in it. And it's interesting because I think we all feel that way. But then you also said that you're like, yeah, I just feel like I shouldn't be doing quotes when I'm doing a lot of quotes. But then she helps with quotes too. Is there a reason you feel like, or do you just feel like you can just like help her out through the quotes and do them faster, or that you feel like you get stuck kind of in the operational stuff instead of on the business like you wanted?
It's a little bit of both. I think we probably all have this problem where it's like, it's just faster and easier, just do it myself. And you know, it will be done flawlessly. So if it's a massive client coming in that I've really wanted and been working on, obviously I'll do the quote and make sure it's done the way I want it. But that's the hardest part, is relinquishing control, right? And trusting that all that stuff is handled the way that you would handle it. But these girls are awesome. For me, it's just more of like a control and almost an addiction. Like you get in and you just want to be busy, and you just want, it's fun, like seeing quotes go out the door, but it's like at the end of the day, I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I not pass that off? It's ridiculous. You know, I heard a podcast of you, Bruce, when you're talking about how you find yourself ordering stuff on Amazon when it's like, you could have just asked one of your teammates or assistant to do it. And we all do that. And it's like, why did we just waste 10, 20 minutes busting out this task that we really didn't need to do?
Yeah. I think it's the addiction to the small wins.
It's an addiction.
Like it feels good. It's almost like you get a little dopamine hit when you like complete something. And like, mm-hmm. as an owner, it feels like the higher you get, the less you actually complete. It's like these longer, bigger, grander plans and strategies and things. And anyway, that just like popped up, and I was like, cause I'll say, oh, I don't want to do this, but I want to do that, but I'm literally still doing it. I'm stuck in it. But yeah. Anyway, what else?
And there's never enough time in the day. Never enough time in the day.
Exactly. What do you think is, we're just wrapping up, what do you feel like is new? I know you guys have shirt of the month going. How is that going, by the way?
Yeah, it's going well. I wish I had a lot more time to pour into that. And that's another thing, is letting myself step away so that I can focus on that. But that is our passion project. So it's called the Love Unstoppable Movement. It's a subscription-based shirt of the month. So you get a shirt, you don't know what color, you don't know what design, you just know that it's going to be like super cool, trendy, powerful logo. And for me, it was really just our way to make a difference in the industry and just in our community and just overall globally. So for us, we use All Made exclusively for the shirts. That way we're having an environmental impact.
Is this off your website that I could see it?
Yeah, you can see it. It should say our passion project or Love Unstoppable Movement.
Got it. How's it going with like sales wise? Is it nice, kind of recurring revenue? Is it?
Yeah, it's recurring. It's dropped off a bit. So when COVID hit, it actually really took off, and we had a lot of people doing it as gift subscriptions. Mm-hmm. So you can do a monthly subscription, you can do an annual subscription, or a 3 month, or a gift. And so for us, we found that a lot of people were gifting it when things were tough. You know, obviously people are going through some hard times, and that became huge. And since then it's dropped off a bit. But primarily because I haven't had the time to pour into it and haven't done any, you know, PR or marketing or events or anything. But it's just really cool. It's a portion of it goes to charity. So we pick a local charity or a family in need, or, you know, whatever the cause is. And it's just a way to lift people up. It's all about, it is spiritual. I do say it's non-religious though. So for me, it's a Christian thing, but I truly believe that we're all honoring the same person, whether it's Buddha, Allah, the universe, whatever. We all have a higher power. And to me, it's the same thing. But sure. Really, it's just about love. It's about being a good human, spreading kindness. And that might sound a little cheesy, because I feel like these days it's all about spread love, spread kindness. But truly, like, we still have issues. There's still, you know, racism and inequality and all these silly things that our generation doesn't necessarily see, but unfortunately it's there. So it's really just a way to lift people up and to give back, and make a difference. So it's been really fun.
That's awesome. Everybody, this is Jessica Tillery. You guys can follow her at All Quality Graphics, and your handle is in their description too. So to feel free to reach out. You've got so much going on. Congratulations on your success too.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to always be able to hang out and meet up at all the different trade shows. Guys, thank you so much for listening in too. We'll see you guys at the next podcast episode.